Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Show hour number one in the books, hour number two ready to go. Jeff Greer filling in for Bob Valvano. We got Patty Ice here with us in the studio, along with, of course, Nikki V. And it's time to shift some gears a little bit. It's college basketball season all year round, but it's also Masters Week, and everybody is all excited to get into this fun tournament this weekend. We've got Bob Herrig from ESPN joining us now. Bob, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing absolutely great. Super excited for this weekend. Let's start with, I guess, your expectations. I mean, it's always kind of fun to get a lay of the land before this thing truly, I know it's already kicked off, but gets going in full. What are you feeling this weekend, and how do you think the course is going to play for these guys?
Well, it's already playing pretty tough, and we expected that because the conditions have been dry. It's been warm, windy. Course has dried out. It's firm and fast, which is sort of like the way they like to have it, but they can't always get it that way. And at least for 2 days, that's what we're going to have because it's not supposed to, you know, maybe we might be getting some rain tomorrow later, and then Saturday it's possible as well. So the hope is that the longer that holds off, the better, because then the course stays firm and fast. Once it rains, or if it rains significantly, then things possibly change. So, you know, you're seeing some guys struggle a little bit. It's not terribly difficult. It's not carnage or anything like that, but it's just, you know, it keeps them on the edge.
Bob, I understand, you know, COVID is still going on. And obviously, the capacity is not what it usually is there. I mean, typically, if Tiger's there, you've got this massive crowd of people following him around. It's still not quite the same. But, you know, in your opinion, Bob, like, do things still feel weird at the Masters now that things are underway?
You know, I was here in November, and it feels less weird.
Gotcha.
I'll put it that way. It feels less weird. I mean, at least there are people. You know, you walk out there, you see people walking. You know, the merchandise pavilion is open. You see people around greens and tees. It's just not as many as you're used to seeing. It's better than nothing. You know,
sure.
It was weird in November. It was cool. I keep saying it was cool for a day. It was cool to see the holes without the, you know, with unobstructed views, and there were no ropes then either. You know, it was kind of you. And unique experience to get to watch a golf tournament that way. But after a day, it kind of got old. I mean, it was like a member guest. I mean, there was no, you know, very little noise. A guy makes a great birdie putt and there's three people clapping. We're going to have more of that here. And I would guess over the weekend, we might even see a few more people. I think that'll be great.
He is ESPN's Bob Herrig joining the V-Show. Jeff Greer, Pat Jaggers, myself, Nikki V, and for Bob Valvano. Bob, Patty kind of touched on it a little bit, but the feeling down there, being a little weird, what's the feeling, is the presence of a lack of Tiger palpable? Our local guy, Justin Thomas, mentioned that it kind of impacted him a little bit. They have a unique relationship. What's the feeling down there in this Tigerless Masters?
I definitely think that's an issue leading into the tournament because there, you know, obviously he'd have such a presence at the Champions Dinner. He would have done a pre-tournament interview. There'd be a lot of chatter, you know, where is his game? Can he contend? All of those things that we would be talking about with him, and then to not have him here at all, the subject comes up in that context. I think once the tournament starts, though, you move on, right? And you move on into, you know, who is doing well. There's a lot of other great players, big names. But, you know, also having that news come out yesterday, I think kind of, you know, about, you know, with the speed and the crash, and again, sort of reminded about just how serious that thing was, you know, just makes you pause. You know, it was terrible, and he's incredibly fortunate that he came out of it, and people are thankful for that. So, you know, and then, you know, in the back of your mind is you just wonder, is he ever going to play again? You know, it's, it seems so far off for that to even be a possibility. So, I just think, you can't help but notice that he isn't here. But now that we're into it, I think that fades away just a little bit.
Something that I thought was, and I realize this is a poor segue from the Tiger conversation, just because that was such a scary situation, but something that I thought was cool was Lee Elder joining Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player for the as honorary starters. In your view, what was that moment like, and why was that important, do you think, for this tournament?
Yeah, it was really neat, and you know, the way they handled it, the way they introduced him. He spoke in a media conference afterward and was quite good about it. Obviously the club, I think they did a nice thing. They did a good thing to acknowledge that, you know, honor the guy who was the first black player to ever compete here. And what, 46 years ago now, I believe, 1975. So, you know, it's hard to believe that that much time has passed. And, you know, in the backdrop of what's been going on in Georgia with the voting, you know, the voting rights law, and you know, how the club has, you know, actually stepped up in the last couple of years to make a point to donate to these causes in the community that are associated with people who are disadvantaged, a lot of them whom are of color. They just said they were going to start a women's golf program at Payne College, which is a predominantly black school. They've partnered with their sponsors to put up $10 million to help revitalize a neighborhood, two neighborhoods in Augusta. You know, that's impressive. You know, and then to honor Lee Elder is another nice step. You know, and they talked about the voting issue yesterday. The chairman, Fred Ridley, did, and they're not going to go so far as to condemn it or to ask anybody to boycott anything, but they made their feelings known, and you know, they carry a lot of clout. You know, they have a big stake in the game.
Bob Herrick of ESPN joining us here on The V Show on ESPN 680, 105.7. Bob, you know, speaking of memory lane, let's go ahead and take a stroll down it just for a second. I want to ask you, man, you know, I was reading a piece from a writer that came down the last couple of weeks talking about some of his most memorable sporting events he's ever been to. And I just want to ask you, Bob, what is probably your most memorable Masters you've watched or been a part of?
Well, I, you know, recency bias, right? I gotta say 2019 when Tiger came back. You know, there was as much drama on that back nine as there's been at any tournament I've ever been to. You know, the lead changes, the number of people who had a chance to win. You know, Molinari had won the British Open the year before. Dustin Johnson was right there. Koepka was right there. Xander Schauffele was right there. Webb Simpson was right there. Tiger was in the mix with guys who are basically a generation behind him. You know, the oldest guy in that group was DJ, who is 9 years younger. Some of those guys were 15, 18 years younger. And, you know, for him to pull it off and win a fifth Masters in his 15th major, and, you know, we all saw the reaction afterward. It's hard to not say that one. I mean, obviously there's been a lot of great ones. I've been there for all three of Phil's wins, which were really, really good. Jordan Spieth's win in 15 was terrific. But how do you, you know, to me, when you put it all together, that one stands above.
Bob, a couple more before we get you out of here, and appreciate the time. He's ESPN's Bob Herrick joining us on the first day of the Masters here on ESPN 680, 105.7. A lot of great storylines coming in, talking about memorable Masters. Hopefully we'll have one this year. Can DJ repeat? A lot of the people picking Colin Morikawa as a dark horse favorite. I know a lot of the guys locally here like him. Justin Thomas, obviously a big local guy. Is Jordan Spieth back? Bryson DeChambeau saying that this is a different animal in the spring as opposed to playing Augusta in the fall. Tons of great angles. Brooks Koepka quickly back from injury. We do a thing here on the V Show where we have a Masters competition. You pick three guys. If they all make the cut, lowest score wins. Who are your three guys to maybe win this thing?
In that scenario, like if I were trying to be in your pool, I think I would go with JT, Justin Thomas. I would go with, I'd go with John Rahm, and I would go with Dustin Johnson. Those three guys. I like Rahm because he's played well here in only four attempts. He's had three top tens. He's one of the best in the world. Obviously, Justin Thomas is, great player coming off that player's win. He's gotten better at Augusta every single time. And, Dustin, of course, won it just 5 months ago and looked dominating doing it, and that's not a whole lot of time that's passed. So you need these guys to make the cut. Obviously, I think they all certainly are capable of that. But there's a lot of other guys too that I think have a great chance to be in the mix come the weekend. I think there's a lot of good players, and it's pretty wide open.
All right. Well, thanks. And you gave us a great SportsCenter soundbite here locally because St. X alum Justin Thomas is always on the mind of everybody. I believe he tees off today about 145-ish. But, Bob, one last one, and then we'll get you out of here. We appreciate the time on this day one of the Masters. But we were discussing it yesterday. It is the V Show. We do have a brand. We talk sandwiches. Your thoughts on pimento cheese sandwiches? Because it was kind of torn yesterday.
That is an easy one for me. No, thank you. thank you.
Even with the low prices at Augusta, $1.50 or whatever, not enough to sway Mr. Herrick.
An egg salad is also $1.50, and which I like better. And they have a new they've offered up a new one this year, a chicken salad sandwich, which I find to be excellent. All the cheese, the pimento cheese, and the mayo and stuff that's in there. I mean, it kind of makes me feel woozy just thinking about it. Unfortunately, that's not me. And I realize that is like a incredible Southern delicacy, that food. I mean, a lot of people love it, so I don't begrudge anybody, but it's just not my thing. So I'm a negative on pimento cheese. Sorry.
Oh, there you have it.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. It's an acquired taste for some folks.
Carolina caviar, as they call it.
That's right. Absolutely. That's a good description.
Yeah. I love it. Well, he is Bob Herrick. Thank you so much, Bob, for joining us. Enjoy the rest of the Masters. I'm sure it's a crazy week work-wise, but always a fun one, too. So we appreciate a couple minutes of your time, and enjoy the rest of the tournament.
Thanks a lot, guys. Be well.
All right. Thank you. That's Bob Herrick from ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Bob Herrig, H-A-R-I-G. And, it's just funny because we're sitting here talking about the Masters. It's the number one sporting event going on in the United States. And everybody wants to know about Noah Locke. I mean, this is why I love this city, and this is why I don't plan on leaving this city, because I'm a college basketball guy. I want to talk about college basketball all the time, and there are four if you include Western Kentucky, because they're just as crazy about their team. There's some diehard fan bases in the area, and that's all they want to talk about. As I said earlier, for the texter who sent this in about Noah Locke, I would bet money on Louisville landing Noah Locke. So that's where we are with that. We've got like
it's a good pickup.
Seven, eight more minutes here with Pat Jaggers, aka Patty Ice. What did you pick your three Masters? Are you in that pool?
I am not.
Who's in the pool? Who did you pick?
Oh, for the one I didn't enter our own one.
If I did it.
If I did it, I'd go with JT. I'm a little bit of the local flair, but also, yeah, he has been kind of knocking on the door. I don't want to take DJ. I just feel like that's a little too chalky. I'm not going to pretend like I'm
like
a golfer.
DJ, though. That's the one I probably would have taken.
Well, I'm still salty that he married Paulina Gretzky. I can't get over that. So I would probably go JT. Matsuyama is kind of a dark horse. And I don't want to pick DeChambeau. I'm going to go Jordan Spieth. I'll go Jordan Spieth. Jordan's back, baby. I'm calling it right now.
Wow.
So two dark horses and one that I think is really has a good chance.
I swear we were on the cusp of him being like the next big thing, and then he's not been the next big thing.
Well, he kind of had that collapse, I think, what was it, the U.S. Open? And then since like 5 years ago, and he's just kind of, because he was kind of leading the charge of the Young Bucks. It was
him.
Was Justin Thomas, Henrik Stenson, Ricky, the freshest man in golf, Ricky Fowler. You know, that's kind of what it was starting out to be. And then, some of the shine wore off of him, and the other guys got a couple of wins. So we'll see. We'll see if Spieth is back. But, yeah, those would be my three. Spieth,
we'll
Thomas, and Matsuyama.
I was listening to that conversation.
Morikawa.
No.
Daisuke Matsuyama?
No, the guy who's winning in first round.
Oh, currently. Okay.
Yeah, Hideki
Matsuyama. I thought you misspoke.
Colin Moore.
Morikawa was a really popular pick.
He's the sexy pick. Mitchell Hannigan loves him, but Mitch touched it, so I'm not touching it.
What did he do?
He touched it.
Yeah.
Right. He touched the Morikawa. I'm not right. touching the Morikawa.
I'm gonna give you three names, Patty, and you can decide who you like, whose picks you like more.
Okay.
So you had who did you have? Spieth, Thomas.
Spieth, Thomas, and Matsuyama.
Okay,
that's a good three.
I'm gonna say DeChambeau.
That's a really good pick.
Dustin Johnson.
That's a good pick.
Obviously, yeah. And I'm gonna toss in Morikawa.
I'm going with Jeff's.
Yeah, I feel a lot better about my picks. They're less boring. You got to win.
They're less boring.
Yeah, winning
less
is entertaining.
Boring. I've got the local
Yours
guy.
Yours is saucy. Mine's gonna win.
By the way,
you win all chalk. Get out of here.
I got a shocking development.
The
for
national
you guys.
Title game was just all chalk. Anyway, go ahead.
That's fair. But anyway,
chalk wins most of the time. There's a reason it's chalk. Go ahead.
Man, we gotta give this guy a pack so we can draw pictures on the sidewalk out here. Cheese and rice.
Cheese and rice of the day, baby.
Yes. I used to draw the lane and the 3-point line in the driveway with chalk.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Shocking development here. You guys saw Dustin Johnson's championship dinner menu, right?
Yes.
No, I didn't actually. What was it?
Oh, we got it. Yeah, bring it up.
I can bring this up. Give me a second here. I gotta pull it up. But I remember that appetizers were pigs in a blanket.
Nice.
And then stuffed lobster corn fritters would sound incredible. The side salads were, you know, the pre-meal. After the appetizers, you got side Caesar salad and side house salad, right?
Okay.
Pretty basic.
All right.
And I remember the main course was just like meat and potatoes. So like a filet mignon, some type of potato, and then the dessert.
What type of steak?
Filet mignon.
I like the little. It was just like a little guitar riff at the end there. Bam! That was awesome.
And then the
je m'appelle filet mignon.
Yeah. The dessert.
Yes, we filet
Ricky
mignon.
Ricky Bobby! Mi macchiato! But, the dessert was apple pie and like a peach cobbler. And everybody was questioning Dustin Johnson because it wasn't bougie at all. Well, newsflash, I've never had pigs in a blanket.
Really?
What?
Patty, I'm bringing you pigs in a blanket. It's a delightful. Would you say pigs in a blanket top five hors d'oeuvre?
Oh, yeah. It's in the conversation for sure. Yeah. I'd have to really sit down and write them out, but I would definitely include
them.
And you can do variations of meat, too, in there. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a hot dog. It can be a little sausage.
I mean, isn't kind of beef Wellington like
pigs
in a blanket went to college, basically?
You can use elk, right?
No, graduate degree. College isn't the same anymore.
Yeah, elk or bison in a blanket, right? You can put that meat in there, too. Elk in a blanket.
I hope I didn't walk on that.
That'd probably be good.
Could put that meat in there, too. God, I hope I didn't walk
on
that.
But no, I've never had pigs in a blanket. We're going to talk hors d'oeuvres real quick.
Yeah.
The meatballs.
Yeah.
Always the way to
tangy,
go.
Tangy, yeah. Sweet, yes. Yeah. Tangy, like Korean meatballs. Yeah.
That's the way to go. But no, I never had those, and I just thought that was very interesting. But I believe I nailed his championship dinner off memory, by the way.
That's pretty strong.
Which is very impressive after looking at it only one time.
All right. Well, text those in, by the way, 437-9680. I'm interested.
Here we go.
I want to know what everybody's championship dinner at the Masters would be. I want to know your ones, too, but I know
they're typically
we
really bougie, too. Like, the guys that actually win it, they're typically really, really bougie menus. And Dustin Johnson's like,
you can
like,
get anything you want. I mean, hell yeah. A little filet mignon or however you said it.
Mignon.
Like, mignon.
Mignon.
Croissant.
Top it with a lobster, man. I mean,
pain au chocolat.
Sure. Oh, man. I got to watch Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights.
Yes.
That's classic.
Great movie.
Been needing to watch it. But anyways, no, like, so Dustin Johnson puts this menu out there, and everyone's like, oh, he's a simple man. I mean, God forbid. I mean, God forbid he doesn't have like this most bougie thing ever. Can he not just be a simple Southern dude? I mean, can it not just be the case with him? Does he got to be?
The lobster puff thing hors d'oeuvre was pretty fancy.
I mean, lobster fritters.
God, that sounds good. Lobster fritters. I mean, that's really pretty. Good. That's pretty strong. I would have a soup. I definitely have a
apple
soup.
Apple pie and peach cobbler.
I mean, soup's too filling.
You can't tell
you can't
me
do
like
it. You can't start with a soup.
This depends on the soup. I mean, just get a little cup.
No.
Jeff, with the highest level of respect, you weigh the same as one of my asses. Like
exactly. Geez. I don't want to take up too much room with a freaking soup when I won the Masters.
So you proved this point for him.
Well, have you seen some of the other golfers? They're hefty fellas. You're telling me Bryson DeChambeau doesn't want a little chowder?
Look, hey, he looks
you
like he's slimmed down.
You don't get chowder in Augusta. You get lobster bisque.
Exactly. That
does sound good.
We're going to talk about chubby golfers. I mean, we need to talk about Patrick Reed.
That's what I'm saying.
Guys like that. I mean,
Brooks Koepka and DeChambeau want some gains, man. Soup too filling.
Give him like a 75-ounce steak. Just a bit.
A tomahawk.
Yeah. Just give me a big
ass
steak.
You went a complete U-turn. You went like,
I
want to
eat something good. I don't want a freaking soup at the Masters.
It's a cup of soup.
I want a
cup of soup.
No, I want a steak.
And then you're
give me the steak.
You're asking for a Flintstone-style cut of steak, but you don't have room for a cup of freaking bisque.
I
want to fill up on the good stuff.
You don't have to eat it.
I was going to say, you don't have to eat the Caesar salad or the side salad Dustin Johnson had either. You don't have to eat that.
No, I don't want a salad either. Inject the meat directly into my veins.
God, I hope I didn't walk on that one either.
I wasn't saying a word. Nope, I'm going to sit here and mind
give
my own business.
Give me the meat!
Just like LeBron wants The Rock, Jeff Greer wants the meat.
267-9680. Give me the meat! Here's what I want. All right? I want, as my appetizer,
okay,
I want beef Wellington and lobster claws.
Okay, solid.
And maybe some crab legs.
Damn. Okay, ooh, okay. I like
maybe a shrimp cocktail. I'm loading up on appetizers. Okay.
But you don't have room for soup.
No!
This freaking
soup
guy.
Takes up too
this
much
freaking
room.
Guy.
It's like loading
you have half a SeaWorld as your freaking appetizer, but you don't have room for a cup of soup.
None of those things are filling.
Are you kidding me?
None of those things are filling.
Shrimp cocktail fills me up more than a freaking cup of like split
you're
pea.
A baby. That's a, yeah, how you I'm get full
this,
on seafood.
This mother trucker is really saying that I can't eat.
No, but listen, let me finish my thought.
I could slather you in barbecue and eat you, Greer. Get out of here. Watch your tone.
That is really a lot. That was a lot to unpack.
Greer wants meat, and Nick wants to smother him in barbecue.
Let
and
me
eat
let me just see.
What the hell's going
I'm
on?
I'm imagining champ kind. I'm number. All right, but imagine. Okay, so
who's the guy that said?
That's a 10. I don't know if I'd be a 10, but maybe someone would be. But no. But here's what I'm thinking with this meat thought process. You get all the seafood, you get all this nice, you get your steak all ready to go.
Sure.
Okay?
Like it.
You get one side.
Whoa.
One side.
Whoa, dude.
I don't know if you want grilled asparagus. Maybe you wrap the asparagus in bacon.
Prosciutto?
Is this the pre-Masters meal?
This is the champion's dinner.
I qualified for the champion's dinner. I am going to eat like a freaking champion. I'm not going to order a Panera Bread lobster bisque. I'm getting meat. Get me the best meat that you could have and take the veggies for someone else to eat.
Look, I mean, Panera's hospital food anyways. You know, 437-9680. Let me show you what you think about
that.
But
Wow, that's the biggest take.
Oh my god, that was like a super kick.
You like that, don't you?
Whoa, out of nowhere. RKO.
Look, I'm on the record. I like Panera.
And we got one side. I mean, I like Panera too, but I mean, you know, I just got to have hospital food every once in a while, right? Am I wrong? But anyways,
kind of a compliment to hospital food. Like, I know they get a bad rap, sort of like the DMV. Not always, man.
I've had some good hospital food.
Dude, the green beans at Clark Memorial?
Oh my god.
Out of this world, man. Out of this world.
Can I read you the best text message I think I've ever read on ESPN 680?
Oh god.
The chances that someone has had their face licked by a relative and never had pigs in a blanket is 1,000,000,000,000,000. And you, my friend, have threaded the needle. What an accomplishment.
Thank you. You know, look, we didn't.
Who do you have to thank?
Patty's
one. Play the music. Give somebody to thank.
Patty's one in a trillion.
Look, first off, this was a team effort. It was a collaborative effort. You know, we worked hard in practice. You know, we made sure that pigs in a blanket were diverted at all costs. We had to do everything we could to make sure this could happen.
I can't believe you would divert, try to avoid them. They're so
I want to thank God. I want to thank God. I want to thank my not wife, Hannah. I want to thank all the producers behind the glass that can make this happen. I want to thank Drew D. I'm gonna thank Andy S. at ESPNLouisville.com, Phil B. at ESPNLouisville.com,
wow.
Drew D. at ESPNLouisville.com. I want to thank everybody that made this happen. I mean, who else am I missing? Nathan H. at ESPNLouisville.com.
We got to start playing them off. So, yeah, wrap it up.
I mean, look, this was a major contribution. I feel like my mic is being lowered if we go to break.
Yeah, I was trying to play off.
Can I just throw one more thing out before we go to break? This is like 10 seconds. There is a story out there, and I might get in trouble for sharing this, but I feel like we've passed the statute of limitations.
Yes.
Somebody was visiting Rick Pitino in Greece.
Uh-oh.
And he came out to the end of his complex or whatever to let them in and suddenly snapped and said, "Oh, my God, I've got pigs in the blanket in the oven," and sprinted back inside in his tracksuit to discover that he had burnt the pigs in the blanket for his visitors. So if Rick Pitino's eating pigs in a blanket, then Patty Ice can be eating pigs in a blanket.
Well, fellas, this has been fun.
This has been very fun.
Thank you
for joining us.
Very much appreciated, buddy.
I guess I got to have pigs in a blanket this week. Got
to make it happen. Flaky crust, it's delicious.
But
ask Nicky V where he gets his from. He'll give you a good rec.
I got you.
Wow.
Good. Finish your thoughts,
buddy. But no, pigs in a blanket. Drive coming up 3-6 on 93.9 Neville. We got Aaron Matus of WDRB joining us. And also, we're going to talk with Brian Bennett of The Athletic. Get the latest on transfers and more, all that coming up. And then, obviously, the take with Andy Sweeney immediately after this one on 680. 105.7. Appreciate you guys letting me hang out. And I'm being dragged out by the music. Don't let Hannah's uncle lick your face.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
All right, we are back here for the final 90 minutes of the V Show. Jeff Greer sitting in for Bob Valvano. I've got Soups Valvano on the ones and twos for us today. The captain of the minestrone.
The major of the minestrone.
There
you go.
The general of the bisque. the biscadier general.
The biscadier general. I like that.
UPS Jobs text line for ESPN 680 is 437-9680. Hit us up with your thoughts, unless you want to insult me, and then we're going to probably block you, because I'm not really in the mood to be insulted today.
Just not today. Come on.
If you want to...
champion of the chowder. Sorry.
There you go. Colonel Chowder.
The Sergeant of the Split Pea.
Captain Chowder?
Captain Chowder. Captain Chowder sounds like an 80s wrestler.
Captain Chowder is 100% a seafood shack in all six New England states. Maybe multiple locations, plus New York and maybe New Jersey.
Captain Chowda.
Captain Chowdas, yeah.
100%. A-H at the end there, yeah. Chowda.
Not even the H, just the lonely A just sitting out there. The Bet Rivers Sportsbook Twitter feed is at ESPN680 if you want to get at us. And just by the way, before we get back into things, to address a competitive hiring climate in the Louisville area, UPS will offer a retention and attendance bonus to 2021. Starting pay is $14.50 per hour. Employees on select shifts will also receive an additional $300 weekly attendance bonus. And you can learn how you can go graduate debt-free. UPS is now also offering a $100 attendance Sunday bonus for all employees who have a Sunday through Thursday work week, and offering a $75 bonus for all night shift employees, not including the $100 bonus. So if an employee works Sunday through Thursday nights, their weekly bonus is $175. Visit upsjobsky.com for more information. We've had plenty to talk about so far today. The Masters obviously getting going, and we've got
Justin Thomas teeing off. I think 148 is that. Oh,
that's coming up very soon.
Yes, and we will have our hourly Masters update coming in about nine minutes.
Yep. I love it. So we are going to be keeping locked on that as we try to follow things early on. We just heard from Bob Herrick from ESPN that the course is pretty tough. Rory bogeyed on 5 and 6. Hideki Matsuyama through 13 is 4 under and has a one-stroke lead. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the second-place guy who's tied with Webb Simpson, Paul Casey, and Mark Leishman. Is it Christian?
Oh,
Bezuidenhout?
That sounds. I mean,
Bezuidenhout. It's probably something like that.
Yeah, I don't speak good.
I don't speak Dutch.
What is that? Germanic? Is that what they?
It's probably Dutch.
Dutch. Okay. Well, he's from South Africa,
So it's probably Dutch.
That's a cool looking flag, by the way.
It's a great flag.
Yeah,
and a great World Cup host. Back in the day. What was that? 2010. South Africa?
I thought it was. Oh, yeah, maybe.
06
yeah.
was Germany. Yeah, it was 2010.
Yeah,
it was
that. Yeah, yeah. 06 was a good year. Italians won. let's see here. And then they didn't qualify for like 2 years or whatever. That sucked. Here's a little soundbite. I just put a bow on the Masters talk. The first question you asked Herrick kind of touched on this. This was going to be my first question. But Bryson DeChambeau just talked about how the course is actually different playing it in the fall as opposed to the spring.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great challenge. I love firm, fast golf courses. Clearly, the U.S. Open was one that I loved and enjoyed the test of, and I think this week will be no different. It's going to test every facet of your game. Greens are already firm and fast. We had a hole location on 17. I played Sunday, and it was up on the front part of the green about 5 or 6 on, and if you just got it past the hole, it would roll off the front of the green. I mean, literally, it moves a dimple and it's gone. So it's pretty unique and interesting. I've never seen it this fast, this quick, this early, but I certainly love the challenge.
Do you like him? He sounds actually kind of endearing in that soundbite. Just a guy who loves golf. But I go back and forth between thinking that he's quirky and fun and good for the game and wanting to hit him with a shovel.
Boy, that's quite the range of... when you want to hit him with the shovel, why are you thinking that?
Because I like people that think outside the box.
Okay.
I think that is good. I think that's cool. I like innovators and everything like that. I don't like people that do that, but then have the perception that they're better than everybody. Fair. It's okay to think that, hey, look, I see how you guys are doing it. I'm going to do it this way instead. But it's sort of like, but I do kind of like him, but it's sort of the Rick Barry school where, like, okay, I'm going to shoot underhanded free throws. If you're not shooting, what's his percentage? Like, if you're not hitting like 92% from the charity stripe, he's basically like a very high percentage. He's saying that you need to do the underhand method. That's cool. he's a little abrasive about it. But as he's gotten older and everything, I feel like it's kind of just become a shtick and everything. But like, he's kind of in that middle ground where he's got like, he's counting the number of times he chews. He's doing that crazy swing thing where Vijay Singh's just looking at him like, what the hell are you doing, kid? And I mean, maybe all of it works. I mean, he's gigantic. I think it does kind of help the game if there's guys that look like real athletes in there. You can argue that it might not be good for their health long term. Look what happened to Tiger. Look what's happened to Rory. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. But it's just when he comes off kind of arrogant and aloof. And that he's better than everybody because he's doing the golf machine thing, because he has all his clubs the same length, because he's counting the number of times he chews and everything. And just at times he comes off critical and just a bit arrogant for my liking. But at the same time, he's a tweener when it comes to wrestling. There's times I hate him, and then there's times when I'm like, I like his enthusiasm for the game. I like that he's kind of quirky sometimes, but then it's a fine line between quirky and
pushing it,
and annoying.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I follow golf enough to.
Neither do I. That's totally a casual fan's take on it.
To have too many opinions on it. I'll just say I find it fascinating when any of these guys get into detail about, like, you know, the fairways and like that sound clip there, just talking about the course and how it's playing. I think that stuff is fascinating.
Same.
Some of the best golf I've ever watched, just from a trying to learn standpoint, was actually last summer when Brady Manning played with Tiger and Phil Mickelson, and Phil Mickelson was talking through one of his shots. Do you remember this whole sequence?
Yeah, he was exploring. Yeah.
I can't remember the whole setup. But it was fascinating listening to think about how to run the ball up on the green, and he's like playing. He was thinking about lining it. Is Nick describing Bryson DeChambeau or Jeff Greer? Am I really borderline between hitting with a shovel and am I insufferable at times?
I really like you, but you told me to shut the F up earlier this week, and you don't like soup.
Wait,
so,
I told you to STFU this week?
You just said something, and it was funny. It was funny. Like, I took it as a laugh. But
I would never say that.
Was it
the Conference USA thing?
No, you were actually really nice about that. So that's why I'm putting my shovel down.
Interesting.
But maybe like a slap on the wrist with like a little garden shovel. That's as much as I'd want to hit you. Just a little bad, Jeff.
That's fine.
Bad.
Well, that's okay. No, I don't have a problem with him. I didn't love the thing with, was it the microphone, or there was a camera too close to him? Or you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
And I mean, like, Tiger's done that too.
It's like, why? Just be a normal person and talk to them and just say, like, can you back up a little bit, or whatever it is that is bothering you? Just say it.
Right.
Don't be a jerk about it.
There's just been times when he's like, and I know there was like bad weather, I forgot, but he was like, this is clown show golf we're doing out here. And it was like dude, you guys are, I kind of liked it because I was like, you guys are doing what I'm doing. You're struggling out there. I can relate. Like, you know, you guys are having a hard time going
up
and down.
I've lost 3 boxes of balls today. Who's having a bad time now, buddy?
Yeah, exactly. So in a teeny tiny bit of it, I was like, this is actually kind of more relatable. But I don't know.
That's fair. I like relatable content. Yeah. I need relatable. I thrive on relatable content.
Exactly. I mean, I feel like it. We can't relate to him hitting a ball 350 yards. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, you know, so it's, I don't know. But there's times where he just rubs me the wrong way. Put that on the mixtape. And for the record, I wouldn't hit you with a shovel, Jeff. I appreciate you filling in for Pops these times. There's a text, by the way, coming down here. We're about to head out to Augusta, so I'll be quick. Saying that, is Jeff better than Radio Nonsense than Bobby V? And I have to say, if Pops is listening in between popping a bunch of pills and going in and out of back spasms, he would be impressed with us. We talked pimento cheese sandwiches and went for about 20 minutes about Patty being licked and, you know, whether or not soup was a good food choice for
the master dinner.
We
talked it out during the break, and you were saying more that it needs to be an option, and you were and I was worried that you were saying we have to have it. But anyway, we got a Masters update here for everybody. It is Masters weekend. Let's listen to it from Westwood One.
From the Augusta National Golf Club, Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the Masters. I'm Ted Emmerich. Colin Morikawa is one of the burgeoning stars of golf. He won the PGA Championship at Harding Park last August, but in his first Masters in the fall, he tied for 44th. As precocious as he is, Morikawa knows he can benefit from that experience.
I remember my press conference from last year and, you know, me being a rookie and me being able to compete out here. I thought I was all right, and I thought I could, bring my A game and come out here and win. But really, you know, course knowledge does help. Obviously, the more reps you get, the better off you're going to be. It's never going to hurt you. So finally to be out here for a second time, feel a lot more comfortable. I know where things are. I know kind of just the nuances of everything. It just allows me to come on a Monday and just be fully prepared and ready to go play golf by Thursday.
Morikawa and the final group to tee off in about 13 minutes. He's with Cameron Smith and 2015 Masters champion Jordan Spieth. You're listening to coverage of the 2021 Masters on Westwood One.
Lowe's Spring Fest is here. We've got $10 off gallon cans or $40 off 5-gallon pails on select interior and exterior paints, stains, and coatings. And appliance special values plus free local delivery on appliances $3.96 or more in-store and online. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. Offers valid through 4/14. Actual paint sizes are 116 to 640 fluid ounces. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for rebate terms and conditions. For appliances, restrictions and additional fees may apply. See Lowe's.com or store for details. U.S. only.
If I'm not commuting anymore, where do I really want to live?
While you handle life's questions, Merrill Guided Investing helps you manage your portfolio and invest for your next move. With the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/investing goals to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
Unforgiving greens in the first round at Augusta National, just as they should be, and they are testing the world's best. Rory McIlroy is 3 over through 10 holes and 7 off the lead. Rory pelted his dad, Jerry, with his approach at the 7th. He actually made par there, so thanks, Dad, but could have used help from his dad's leg at 5, 6, and 9. That's where he made his bogeys. Hideki Matsuyama, the leader, at 4 under. Matsuyama has played 13 holes. It's a one-shot advantage over Webb Simpson, Christian Bezuidenhout, Paul Casey, and Mark Leishman, all at 3 under. Will Zalatoris, Brian Harman, Patrick Reed, former Masters champ, 2 under par and 2 back. Brooks Koepka is 3 over after back-to-back bogeys at 12 and 13. He can't bend his right knee past 90 degrees after surgery last month. Dustin Johnson is even par 4 back. From Augusta, I'm Ted Emmerich, Westwood One Sports.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season as they gear up for the playoffs. While some teams are locks to make the playoffs, others are still fighting for their opportunity to chase the trophy this summer. The Knicks. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Turning $1 into $100 is simple. Pick any basketball team to win their next game. And if during that game the team of your choosing hits a three, you bring home $100 in free bets. That's 100 to 1 odds on the team of your choosing to hit a three. They don't even need to win. This year, teams have been hitting threes at an unprecedented pace, so get in on all the action with DraftKings Sportsbook before this offer ends. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code WHBE when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code WHBE to turn $1 into $100 in free bets for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. I got to admit, Nikki V, it still bothers me One, I don't own a North Face jacket, but is having a North Face jacket considered metrosexual? And as a follow up, is metrosexual still a thing? Like, is that an insult that I wear clothes that fit me?
I was gonna say any type of sexual. Sorry, it's like the 21st century. Any type of sexual.
That's not an insult.
It's not an insult. You can't use that as an insult.
That's weird.
Like, come on. Come out of your cave. I thought it's bright and nice outside.
I thought the troll thing had ended. It's like, I thought that's 2016.
The trolls are still there. Yeah. The trolls will always be there. They just change and adapt, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's too warm out for a North Face jacket.
North Face
anyway.
Is just.
It's weird. That's like a 2004 reference.
I feel like Patagonia is the new like North Face.
I don't think
North Face is any related to any type of Metro Pan by like it's doesn't bizarre. Matter no, like, no sexual. I don't relate it to anything like that.
Yeah.
Young people
wear them.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone
it's
under 40
sort of,
wears them.
Yeah, anyone who's young.
Unless I have overalls on, I guess that makes me a metrosexual.
I will say this. Is there too much stuff you can wear like that? And
overalls?
No. Like Patagonia, North Face. I feel like if you wear a lot of that stuff, sort of like when I was in high school, middle school, that little area, there was skateboarding was huge.
That was big. Tony like Hawk's Vans and all those brands were real popular.
Right, but you could totally get labeled a quote unquote poser if you were rocking the Vans shoes, the Echo T-shirt, you know, a bunch of PacSun stuff, but you couldn't do a kickflip. You know what I mean? So I feel like there's like that's sort of the evolution as we've gotten older, that Patagonia, North Face, all those, like if you're wearing a lot of that stuff, but you don't go camping, I feel like you're kind of hovering in that same territory.
Yeah.
Of being an adult poser. Like, am I wrong here? Or am I just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall?
I think you're throwing a little spaghetti at the wall. I think that's different. Look, here's the thing. Wear whatever you want.
Oh, yeah, no, it's America.
You know, that's
where,
the biggest thing. Wear whatever you want. And
Just cover the bits and everything's fine.
Well,
like,
depends on where you are.
Well, true.
Anyway.
That was kind of European. I feel like you were about to mention a topless beach thing, which is awesome.
Well, you think it's awesome, and then you go, and then you realize that it's not awesome. Trust me on that one. Anyway, not for me, but just my eyes and their ability to work. I did want to get to this before we hit the break. My newsletter is out today, jeffgreer.substack.com, and it's got pretty much what Louisville's basketball schedule is for next season. Pretty much. We've got the contracts for everything. It's pretty straightforward. It's who you thought that was it was going to be on the schedule this past season, plus a couple of stuff that has been confirmed in reports previously is now in contract form. The thing that sticks out to me the most, Gonzaga, potentially
against
Louisville in New York in November.
Okay.
Potentially.
Now, Gonzaga's losing a lot of people, but they're still in the way too early.
They'll be the preseason number one team
in
the country.
Right, okay.
Because Drew Timmy is expected to come back. Doesn't really have much draft stock. Kispert will be gone. Suggs will be gone. But they've got one of the best recruiting classes in the country coming in. And
Chet
a couple
Holmgren.
Other guys. Yeah. So we'll see how that all pans out. But it's Louisville, Oklahoma State, Providence, and Gonzaga. I think it's the Empire Classic, if my memory serves. Plus, of course, you know the Kentucky game, but it's all laid out in my newsletter. Plus, whatever happened to that Murray State football game? You remember how that got canceled in the fall because the FCS decided to play in the spring?
Right.
Somehow, and you'll have to read the newsletter for this, it is actually attached to basketball in the rescheduling of this.
Really?
They worked it out in a way that it is going to be attached to basketball and the football game will happen in the future. So, go on over to jeffgreer.substack.com to look through. I included a bunch of snippets of game contracts so people can look at it. I think that stuff's fascinating. How much are the big schools paying the little schools to come play them? Usually it's $90,000. That's kind of the going rate for a Power 5 school. So it's just interesting. So it's going to be one of Louisville's better schedules in recent memory, especially if they get Gonzaga. If they don't get Gonzaga, we'll see. If you play Providence, Oklahoma State, Kentucky, Western Kentucky, the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and then I don't know what's happening with that Cincinnati game that was supposed to happen this past year. We'll see what happens with John Brannon. I think that will have an impact on it. But there's potential to have a pretty good non-conference schedule.
How good is the ACC going to be next year?
But we thought it would be solid this year. Like,
right.
With this transition of talent. But like Florida State, North Carolina, Duke, I've seen Syracuse now highly rated, which I feel like is a mistake. We're basing that on their March and these guys coming back. They had the same guys on their team during the season, and they were barely in the tournament. I feel like we should just pencil in Syracuse as like 20-10 or 18-13 every year, and assume that they're going to barely get in the tournament, regardless of who's on their
get
team.
Get out of the first weekend.
And then make the Sweet 16.
Right, yeah.
But there's a couple of teams. I mean, Clemson is going to be challenged, I think, to rebuild a little bit with I don't know what
Amir
Sims.
Are you still going to hate them?
It depends on how I only didn't like the way they played.
Okay.
Really had nothing to do with their personnel or anything like that. It's just a style. So we'll see. But Virginia Tech is expected to be really good. So I do think the league will be better than it was.
In a way too, like, I mean, forget about letting the cake bake. I mean, the mix isn't even in the box.
Oh,
and it's not even getting shifted.
Yeah, we're eating the raw materials.
Right. It hasn't even been packaged.
We're having soup at the Masters Champions Dinner. That's how early on into this conversation we are.
We're almost at the top, so I'm going to let that asinine comment slide. Do you think the best win that the Cards get next year comes out of conference?
Well, based on all of those games, it could be. I mean, I'm not calling them saying they're going to beat Gonzaga, but you get a chance to play them.
Right.
Kentucky should be good again, you would assume. So those are two.
There was so much in that question because we don't know how we don't know how good U of L is going to be. We don't know how good Gonzaga is going to be. Yeah. We don't know how good Kentucky is going to be.
We don't know who their big
we don't know
ACC
how good the ACC
is
going to be, like, as a whole. So that, but just based on, like, yeah, what you know so far, who's coming back, who's coming in for the Cards, who you think they're going to get, because you have a pretty good idea about some people coming down the pipe.
It'll be a conference win will be their best win.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay.
Just because there's 20 of them and 11 non-conference games.
Right. And a way, way, way too early prediction.
So you would think that they could get a North Carolina, a Duke, maybe a Florida State. That might be asking too much. Maybe Virginia. One of those teams, Virginia Tech, that will be highly rated. You would think that Louisville, if the roster builds the way that they're hoping to, they would be in the mix with those teams and should be able to beat them, a couple of them, and they'll lose a couple of those games too. They've got a lot of home and away, tough home and away setups too. Notre Dame's supposed to be really good. That's a home and away. Virginia is always a home and away. So there's a couple of tough ones in there. They've got Duke at home, just one game this year, and it's at Louisville. So that you would circle that and say you got to hold home court advantage. You would think, hopefully, for all of college basketball and all sports, we'll be back to having full crowds again. So we know that that'll be a very different environment than anything that we've seen so far.
David Johnson comes back. I mean,
well, yeah. Now we're that's a whole.
It's always a great matchup.
That's a whole other conversation. Ellis and Bodenhausen's coverage of Louisville baseball on ESPN Louisville begins Friday. FSU at Louisville, 5:50 on 93.9 The Ville. We've got Saturday 12:50, Sunday 3:40, all on 93.9 The Ville. If it's Louisville baseball, it plays here on ESPN Louisville. We'll take a break here on the V Show. Final hour coming up on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Bet River Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.